Sift Pop Podcast is recorded in front of a live internet audience.
Live from a bunker in the heart of the Ozarks, we're still trying to figure out exactly what is on the inside of those cars. It's Sift Pop. Like, is there a steering wheel? Like,
I didn't think about it until now, and now everything. Yeah.
Welcome to Sift Pop, streaming live on Mixlr every single Friday afternoon, or available to download later in your podcast feed, unless, of course, you're a patron.
Patrons get perks!
Patrons get those perks!
Room!
I'm Aaron Dicer from YourMovieFriend.com. I'm joined by Andrew Ormsby from Flick Freaks.
Ahoy!
And every week we'll be joined by a pop culture guru to chat about movies, television, and whatever else from the pop culture universe is on our minds. Today's guru, from the Horrible Movie Podcast, it's Jack!
Golf clap and woots! Woo!
Yes, that's right. It's a movie podcast that is a horrible. It's the Horrible Movie Podcast.
No, it's a podcast about horrible movies, Jack. Don't sell yourself short.
I'm game for whatever. If you want to listen to it and think this is a movie podcast that's horrible, I don't care. Just listen. It's fine.
It opens your interpretation.
You can clear up all confusion and just call it the Horrible, Horrible Movie Podcast. And then people know it's both. You know?
H-H-M-P.
Yeah. Yeah, you can just do both. The Horrible, Horrible Movie Podcast.
Sounds like something you have to go see a doctor about, HHMP.
Well, side effects on the medication include face horn.
Face horn?
I bleed.
Nice.
Sorry.
I bleed too when I'm cut.
I bleed.
So tell us what's going on, man.
Nothing much. Just
how you been?
Enjoying summer right now.
Yeah.
Just trying to wear a shirt as little as possible. I've been successful.
It doesn't bother us.
Well, I mean, I'll put this back on if you guys want me to.
No, you're fine,
okay,
man.
Okay.
Let them breathe.
We're just hanging out here, guys.
That's right.
No big deal.
No big deal at all. Just three shirtless guys doing a podcast.
You got it.
That's how it works around here.
It's our new podcast, actually.
We've got a really fun show in store. I'm really excited to talk about these movies. I get this. By the way, we don't talk beforehand. I've got this strict no conversation rule.
Man.
You tried to strike up a Cars 3 conversation.
First,
I was having none of it.
I first walked in. What do you think about that Cars 3? You're like, shut up.
I don't think I quite said it that
you
way.
You did.
I said shut your face, I think is what I said. Something like that.
Oh, you didn't say that. That makes me sad now that you thought that.
The point is, we don't talk about it ahead of time so that we can talk about it. But I get this sense that there's going to be some disagreement today. Like, there's just
not
something.
Not on cars.
There's
well,
just
maybe
something,
on cars.
There's something in the air that I get the feeling that either It Comes at Night or Cars 3, we're going to have a
I told
a
you
bit.
At the theater last night about It Comes at Night. I'm like, I think you and I are going to disagree on that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, and I had that feeling even before you said that. So
yeah.
this could be an interesting one. Jack, you get to be the tiebreaker whenever. See, that's the guru's role, whenever the host disagrees.
And then one of us is officially wrong.
I'm interested to see
this how opinions work.
Response here.
So we're going to talk about Cars 3. We're going to talk about It Comes at Night. Of course, we'll go on a Sift quest. This one, I think, going to be about underperforming movies at the box office. That should be fun. And of course, we'll do some buried treasure. But first, we'd like to kick it off with some Do We Care?
Every single week, I scour the internet to find out what is going on in the entertainment world, and we can discuss whether or not we care about it or not. Unfortunately, though, we only have one topic this week, and it is a We Care Deeply.
Oh, yeah?
The world mourns over the passing of one of the greatest Batmans of all time, Adam West.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever watch the original Batman
of
run?
Of course, man.
Every episode.
Yeah.
Times.
I love that stuff as a kid.
Yeah.
That was the 60s, right?
Yeah, Cesar Romero was the Joker, and of course
I don't
Adam
know
West.
Where. Maybe I saw it on Nick at Night, maybe when I was growing up. Is that where it would have been on?
I watched it, Nick at Night. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
What used to be, I think it became Fox Family, then it was something else. But the Family Channel also reran it for a long time as well.
I thought that stuff was hilarious.
Because Nick at Night also had like I Love Lucy and all those other ones too, right?
Yeah,
that was where I watched
Get Smart.
Yeah, the original Get Smart run, too.
So Adam West, he got locked in, like a lot of actors do, to that role.
Yes.
And so anything you see him in since then, unless I'm missing something, is kind of a cameo or...
Well, he's
you know,
on Family, he was on Family Guy.
Okay.
And he was a very prominent character in that show. Everybody thinks, you know, Family Guy is just that family and the group of friends, but I think he was in... Let me look it up because
no, that would make sense, you know, because a voice performance would be you know, a lot easier to kind of get past the being, you know, typecast, those kind of things. But and he has a great voice, you know.
Yeah.
So
there's a couple Lego Batman games that they do like a retro level on,
uh-huh.
and he voices Batman on those games as well. And I read a thing where he had been offered this, again, fact check this, folks, but like he'd been offered the Bond role.
What?
After Sean Connery. Look it up, clarify, and he, it may have just been him talking.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, it's an interview with him talking about it, and it's interesting. He did
that would be interesting.
Before he was Batman, he did an ad for some I can't remember what it was, some, you know, product as like a Bond type character.
Yeah.
But he's, I mean, obviously American. So an American Bond, I've always felt like that would be not good.
He was considered to be James Bond.
Wow.
So, and he said he regrets.
According to Wikipedia.
Allegedly, he turned it down because it was after Batman and he didn't want to, I mean, it's like he didn't want to get typecast into action roles, but it's like,
oh, that would have been a great way to expand what he
right.
did.
Right, and
he,
I don't think at the time he thought that
so,
was
so, but
the
he
case.
Regretted it. He oh, talks about yeah, regretting it.
Because
yeah,
then
I can
it's
imagine.
Like, then he was basically just doing appearances as Batman at you car know, shows,
yeah, comic book
standing
conventions,
next
those
to
kind
the Batmobile, and saying old chum a lot.
He's so. The only other Batman to actually literally appear in the Lego Batman movie, too, because like all the others are like Lego versions
yes.
as he kind of goes through them or whatever, and then
yeah,
it actually shows the
him.
Picture of Adam West. So yeah, cool stuff. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I saw that, was it L.A.? Put a bat signal in the sky. Did you see that?
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So.
Oh, that makes me happy.
That is cool.
Yeah. It's great to remember that kind of stuff. Yeah. So any other thoughts on Adam West before we move on?
Man, I liked him a lot.
I'm right there with you. He owned it. You know, he wasn't one of those actors who was like, yeah, I really wish I was known for something else. But every single thing I saw him in, he was like, I'm Batman. Why would I not want to own that? And
yeah.
and he was just kind, good natured guy, it seemed.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
Very cool. Since you didn't have any other news.
I figured you guys didn't want to talk about E3 wrap up, so.
Nah, yeah. not really. I mean, you can give quick thoughts if you want.
The new Xbox was announced. It looks really cool. I don't have a 4K TV, but if I ever to get one, it would be an immediate purchase. Was
500, right? Is the
500,
price point.
And it's the smallest Xbox ever made, too, and it's the most powerful.
That was the big standout.
Yeah. Also, all of your, like, you know how there's been the Xbox Original and then the Xbox 360?
Yeah.
Every single console that Xbox has done now is going to be backwards compatible.
Oh, great.
Even
That's
the
good.
Original Xbox games
yeah.
are going to come, you can play
That's
them
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you, and so you have to have a 4K TV to even use that console?
You can use a 1080 TV and it'll upscale it, but it has the full power
we'll
of
downscale
running
it.
4K. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it'll upscale your 1080 to where even that'll look better.
That's technically impossible, isn't it?
It'll enhance. Okay, so
you can't add pixels to a television.
I asked a question.
Okay, so I'll try and explain this the best I can. So your original Xbox, like say it has a 1080 screen.
Sure.
It can up-res your actual game, not the screen. It'll up-res the game so it looks better.
Oh, like the old games?
Yeah,
you're talking
yeah.
about? Oh, yeah, 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 totally. Yeah, I get
and
that.
And even the games that come out now, it can upscale those. Like, say, a new game that came out. I'm just going to use Gears of War
sure.
as an example. The new Gears of War. It can upscale that on your 1080 to make it look better than what it originally could on an Xbox One or a 360.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think
okay.
I think what you're saying is that the graphics are better even
exactly.
if the resolution isn't.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying.
Quicker load times as well. It's really good, but the main thing that I liked about Xbox is because, you know, I'm an Xbox guy.
Yeah, that's your platform of choice,
they,
right?
They announced 42 games during that conference, and some of them look game-changing, no pun intended.
Some of them?
Yeah.
Others were not as much?
I'd say a good majority. I think Xbox One E3. I think they did a fantastic job. Not saying Sony or Nintendo. You would have loved Nintendo's conference, by the way.
I watched it, man. I watched your live stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I was commenting in the chat, but I don't think you ever realized it was me.
Oh, yeah. Probably you're incognito.
How is the Switch performing as far as... Are people...
I mean,
it's sold out.
Yeah, it doesn't stay in stores.
It?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I've heard a lot of negative reviews about it. Like, the dock that you put it in is starting to scratch people's screens. Of,
oh,
you know,
really?
Taking it in and out. It's starting to scratch the screen, yeah.
Yeah, my son still loves his. Hasn't had any problems with it, but I think games are going to be a big thing. You know, I mean,
you think so?
Breath of the Wild is great, but I mean, they've got. I mean, I've heard good things about like some of the weird games, like ARMS. I've actually heard really good things about that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And there's a Rabbids game that's coming out that people are really
raving. There's a Rabbids. Mario Rabbids game.
Right. Yeah.
Mario what? And in the same universe, it's Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battles.
That's cool.
It's based kind of around XCOM. Okay. If you've ever played XCOM Mm-mm. before, okay. So it's like. I don't know how to turn-based battle. I'll just say that, just generic. But yeah, Mario and Rabbids in the same world.
That's neat.
Yeah, and then Mario Odyssey is slated for late October, I think. So you know,
new Kirby, new Metroid.
That's awesome.
Yeah, my sons are excited about the Metroid, about another Metroid Prime.
I was really excited about Kirby. Oh, and another Yoshi game as well. Yeah, Nintendo had a pretty good conference.
That's good. That's good.
Cool. That's cool.
I don't want to spend much time on it.
No, I'm glad we did. I mean, I'm not a big gamer guy, but I know a lot of people are, and it's probably one of the parts of our podcast that we don't talk about a lot is the gaming stuff. So I certainly don't mind. The only other news that I saw that I thought maybe we would talk about is was it Elizabeth Banks who called out Steven Spielberg? Did you see this?
Did not hear about
this. I saw that.
So she called out Spielberg for not having any movies with female protagonists, female leads, and says that our greatest directors need to make the effort to, have female leads in their movies as a point of, purpose in what they do. So when you saw that, how did you feel about it? Yeah, I mean, we don't have to get all political or anything.
The author of that article listed like three movies he's done that have female leads compared to the many, many he's done. But I also go, like, I think it's Steven Spielberg's right to make whatever he wants. Like, I just feel that way. I mean,
What were do you remember what they listed where he
They weren't anything major.
They were like minor Spielberg movies?
And they were, I had to look at Sugar.
Actually,
Anton Sugar.
6 hours ago, Elizabeth Banks apologizes for Steven Spielberg's diversity comments. So,
I'm tipping my elbow and
a little bit
sauce. If you know what I'm talking about,
sign language for a little bit sauce.
I wondered that when I read that too. I was like, it sounds like just being an adult and knowing that adults might do that and then roll out there and hand out the wrong awards card at awards shows too.
What? That would never happen.
That would never happen. But maybe she was.
Yeah, I think diversity is important, whether it be, male, female, or racial diversity, or all those things.
Important.
And I think it's very valuable.
I don't know if shaming is the way to go about
exactly.
it.
That's exactly what I was going to say is, I think you be intentional about your choices. And, and unfortunately, the world changes a lot slower than a lot of us want it to. Yeah. But that's just the process of human nature. And
you got to look at the sign of the times of whenever Spielberg was making movies in Hollywood. It's not like he's the new kid on the block. Whenever he was making movies, it was a very machismo, male-centric.
Yeah, that wasn't even a worry. Like,
yeah,
that wasn't even
a concern of his. That was just the times in Hollywood. That's just how it was. You wanted the big, strong man on. Now times have changed, and you can't call people out on their history like that.
Yeah.
Moving forward, talk to him in private about it, maybe. Like, hey, I'd like to be, maybe if you were to do a female lead, talk to me. Something like that?
I think that's the one thing that I would say underneath it all is, like, even aside from everything else, what a poor career decision to call out Steven Spielberg.
Right. Of all the people.
Right? Yeah.
Like Harvey Weinstein. That's like the
Let
only
Let me tell
other
you
person.
Everything wrong with the people who can give me a job.
Right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I guess I should say that's important sometimes, right?
No,
it's
agree.
Important to call, to speak truth to power.
I respect her right to say whatever the crap she wants to say. So
right, for sure.
For her, I agree. If that's her take, but if she took it back, then you kind of go, okay, well, maybe, maybe
well,
there was a,
and that takes a lot too to take something back, to apologize and take something back. And,
exactly.
Let me say this just real quick. I agree with what she's saying. Maybe make a general statement on Hollywood instead of calling out one specific person.
Why wouldn't she use a number of other people? I mean. Maybe J.J. Abrams. I mean, he's now Joss Whedon, he's always had some pretty strong female leads and stuff. So
I'm just saying, like, I think she could have said something like, I think Hollywood needs to focus more on female leads instead of, I think this guy needs to focus. Like,
that was kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
Or like when people were calling out Pixar. Before Brave, before Brave happened, Pixar was called out for, hey, where are the female protagonists in your movies?
Right. Yeah.
And I think they've done, you've got Brave and Inside Out now. And, I think that's important. I think it's valuable for.
Frozen isn't Pixar, is it?
That's
straight up Disney.
Yeah, that's Disney.
Just making sure.
And Disney's always been really good about female. I mean, having female, you know, protagonists.
Yeah,
so.
the Disney princess line, man.
Well, and they more get called out for the stereotypical female, so like, you know, having a different kind of female lead, which is, you know, even a different topic. So I think they're important things to talk about. But yeah, probably an unwise decision on her, and seemingly inaccurate decision on her part. So, all right, you ready to move on to Cars 3?
Let's do it.
All right, let's talk about Cars 3.
You are about to become the biggest brand in racing.
U95!
Movie deals, infomercials, product endorsements.
Ka-chow!
You think you're famous now? We'll be rich beyond belief.
Mr. Sterling, what is this about?
Your legacy. Every time you lose, you damage yourself. I'm sorry. Your racing days are coming to an end.
Cars 3, blindsided by a new generation of blazing fast cars, the legendary Lightning McQueen finds himself pushed out of the sport that he loves. With inspiration from the fabulous Hudson Hornet and a few unexpected turns, number 95 prepares to compete on Piston Cup Racing's biggest stage. Cars 1, considered a mild success for Pixar, even though one of their lesser known films. I think it's, you know, around 75% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Box office, anyway.
Box office. Was this a success at the box office, wasn't it?
But I'm saying, like, compared to what it makes off of, like, toys and stuff like
that.
Oh,
my goodness. The merchandising in the Cars franchise has been incredible.
Yeah, it's the number one.
Cars 2, a weird decision to make it into a spy movie and widely considered Pixar's only bad film. Out of now 18 movies, Cars 2 is the only one under 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah.
Wow.
So weird decision, poorly made. So they're trying to come back with Cars 3. Here's the question. Did you like it, love it, it was just okay, dislike it, or hated it? Have they made a return with Cars 3? Jack, we'll start with you.
Okay. I mentioned this to producer Phil yesterday when we were talking about Cars 3 after we'd watched it, after I'd watched it. I felt like if Cars 1 is KFC with the 11 herbs and spices
okay.
that make a delicious, you know, thing that's going on. I think the Cars 2, they went with some weird, odd formula.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure why. And they've come back to the 11 herbs and spices that made them. Made like Cars 1 palatable, maybe. We'll say that.
Classic Coke and New Coke, and now they're back to classic.
Why did
you
know, make,
Coca-Cola
why did
Classic.
New Coke?
It was the Pepsi Blue.
Oh, my gosh. Clear Pepsi.
So,
that's got some.
Like it? Love it?
I loved it.
Loved it.
All right. Wow.
What about you, Andrew?
I am so not the target demographic for this
movie. And that may be it, too, because the kids were talking the whole time that I was in that theater. So
I didn't like it.
Crying.
And I've never seen another Cars movie. So
I mean, I think that could have an impact on this, because it does rely on a little bit of the relationships, especially from Cars 1, for you to be invested in. I liked it. I liked it quite a bit, actually.
I think you needed background from Cars 1.
I got everything. I knew the blue car was his wife or whatever, and I knew that.
Ish, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how car relationships work.
See, this is the thing about Cars, right? And I kind of hinted at it in the opening. If you start to think too hard about this universe, your brain fries.
Like, how do they make baby cars? How do the cars grow up?
What are relationships like? Notice they never talk about marriage in this universe.
Yeah.
There's like, right?
Am I
wrong? Is there something?
But that conversation can go so many different ways.
I know, like, but I'm saying, like, you don't
wait
have.
Wait a minute.
I'm glad you guys are saying
wait
all
a minute.
That.
What?
Because I thought, maybe they just explained all this, like they built the world in the first Cars
movie.
No,
you cannot think too hard about this universe.
Okay.
Because, like, in other Cars movies, they insinuate that the animals
car insurance is life insurance. I love it.
They insinuate the animals are also, like, vehicles. Like,
yeah, tractors are cows.
Tractors are cows. Like, how does this stuff, so why are tractors, like, an animal version of a car, but cars are more sentient? Like, if you start to think about this stuff, your mind will fry.
Yeah,
like,
so you don't need to.
You've got to let that stuff go, for sure.
Because what is inside those cars?
Right? They don't need a gas pedal or a steering wheel.
I guess I think
of
Kit from Knight Rider.
Right.
And I think that's it, but this is different.
But these aren't robot cars. These are sentient cars.
There
are no humans in the world.
Okay, I didn't know that. Going into this,
yeah,
I thought there were humans. I thought that they were sentient racing cars, and that people went to go and see them, and that, you know,
like Herbie the Love Bug,
kind of like Herbie the Love Bug, something like that. Yeah, so I'm like, oh, so everything's a car.
Yes.
Okay. Like I said, I didn't care to see the first two movies, so this was a learning experience for me.
So let's talk about the positives then. And Andrew, since you didn't like it when both of us did, why don't you go ahead and throw some positives out there, even though you didn't like it?
So I've never been a fan of like NASCAR racing, you know, anything like that.
Sure.
But I'm saying that I made a specific because I do find like Formula One fascinating. I think that's really cool. But at the same time, I found like I could understand where the love of like that type and style of racing or dirt racing or drag racing.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like, okay, there's the love in that. I felt like the love was poured into the making of this movie from people who appreciate and love that sport.
And that was missing in Cars 2, by the way. Like, you never felt during Cars 2 that it was about, like, the race lovers.
Or
you know?
Even, like, they could have done Formula 1, you know, because that's more of a, there's a more European thing, because they did go to Europe, right?
Right, but they didn't want to. It wasn't a sports movie. The second one was a spy movie
Why
for some reason.
Why did they do
that? I have no idea. But anyways, yeah, you're absolutely right. And you feel that in the first Cars movie, and you feel it here as well. There's a real respect and honor for that type of
sport. What spy
movie
is Owen Wilson in? Isn't he a spy versus a spy?
Wedding Crashers. That's my film theory.
What was he in? There's a spy movie named Jackie Chan.
Shanghai Nights and Shanghai Noon.
Is that a spy movie?
No,
never.
That's cowboy ninja movie.
Cowboy ninja.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a great genre. Right, the cowboy ninja genre. Anything else you liked other than seeing kind of the honoring the racing stuff?
I guess the voice performances are good. I'm sure that if I had a better understanding of like. Listening to Owen Wilson, I'd be like, oh yeah, he knows that character so well. I don't know if he knows that character so well, considering I don't know that character. So
sure. But you learn a lot about that character in this movie.
Right. Like, I do find that I felt that whenever I watched the movie and he was talking about how like the hit racing is his life, I found that very genuine.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like he was phoning in a performance, so maybe he really does know this character and understands that character. So
sure.
You guys could definitely speak to that better than I could. So
I'll talk about some of the things I love. We talk about it getting back to the original formula, or Formula One, if you prefer.
Good, but they turn right.
Gosh.
I really appreciate not only that they got back to the racing, but also that they got back to Lightning. The second one, all of a sudden, was about Mater in so many ways. And he is so much better as a side character who makes you laugh every once in a while than at the center of the story.
Does he?
Lightning is... He does me.
Wait a minute now. Hold on. You don't like NASCAR and Larry the Cable Guy?
I know. And I live in Missouri.
You know where you live, right?
Yeah,
I think what he does works as a side character. I don't think it works as a central character. And I should say, he's hardly in this movie.
Yeah.
He has a couple key moments that I thought were appropriate. And so it gets back to Lightning McQueen and kind of what he's about, and what his journey is about. So I like that as well. I also feel like it got back to the heart. There's a real beautiful message here about growing old and changing and how to do that. And also a message about overcoming barriers and overcoming obstacles.
Right.
That I really wasn't expecting that one, and I really enjoyed that one. So I found that stuff moving and meaningful. And then, of course, gorgeous visuals that Pixar always does were on display here. Some of that dirt track stuff
and then the animation amazing.
There were moments when there are wide shots in this movie, you think it's just they're filming actual vehicles driving down the street.
It blows
it's incredible,
my mind.
Yeah. So I like that stuff. What else did you like?
I like I don't want to spoil anything on the timeline of this movie. The timeline of the movie made a lot of sense to me, how they went from movie one, and then movie two is just kind of blur of whatever. But like in comparison from the first movie to now, there's been some time.
Yeah.
And it's actually passed. It's not like The Simpsons where
no time everything is resets.
Everything just resets every episode. So I like that about it. And they were able to tell that story. And really focus on, not being an ageist. We shouldn't be ageists, folks, and not like people because of their age.
But
how long do cars live?
We can't think about that stuff. We can't understand why they die. Because honestly, Lightning McQueen should be dead. I mean, no spoilers, but you know, he's definitely. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're a racing car and you get into racing accidents,
how do they get fixed?
Yeah, like that's
primer.
Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm
Optimus
saying.
Primer.
We cannot think too deeply about this stuff. It will drive us crazy.
I want to talk just real quick. So
what?
That's
the driving pun.
Oh.
That's something that I think that Pixar does relatively well most of the time.
Usually,
world
yes.
building and
yes.
stuff, and making you understand why all that stuff happens. So hearing you say you can't think about that, it's kind of a negative for me
it
now
is.
That I know that.
No. It absolutely is, but it's a built-in negative that you just kind of have to go with based on how they've chosen to do the
don't
material.
Don't tell me I have to accept something
you know,
I don't like.
Really, Finding Nemo and Finding Dory are the same way. The way the animals interact with the human world doesn't make sense, even more in Finding Dory than Finding Nemo. Mm. So there are those moments where, you know, to serve the story or to serve what they're trying to do, they do let go of some of that stuff and just hope that you'll suspend your disbelief. Mm. So, and yes, I'm saying an octopus couldn't drive a truck. So
what? Don't limit those octopus, please.
Yeah. I think octopi, right?
Yep, it's octopi.
Oh, no. We've had this conversation.
It's not octopuses.
It's technically octopuses.
Occupy.
Yeah. So I'm ready to kind of move into the stuff I didn't like. I really liked that other stuff, but there mm-hmm. are some negatives with this film that bring it down a little bit for me.
Okay.
I will start with the pace a little bit. Now, I actually didn't mind it as much as some people might, but just to throw it out there, this movie's a lot slower than most animated films. It's not like it doesn't have the quick mile a minute, joke a minute kind of thing going on. It really takes its time with the stories and the characters,
right.
which I can kind of admire, but I think that's something that you might notice as a negative.
Right.
So
I was looking for more relationship stuff between Lightning and the Porsche that he.
Were you?
Yeah, I was really looking for a car. Never mind. But no, they. What was I going to say? That's it. I really didn't have a whole lot of negatives. I honestly thought, for what it is, it's cars. Like, my expectations of it is exactly what was delivered, and it was whatever the second movie wasn't. Let's make sure we don't do that again.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to roll out Cars 3, you've got to correct.
I get it. Roll out.
Yeah. Roll it out. out of the showroom. If you're going to roll it out of the showroom.
Got to get back on track.
You got to get back on track. And it did get back on track. And I like the use of... You know, he's getting a little bit older, so we've got to figure out ways. Is that a spoiler?
Talk about some of your negatives.
One of the villains is very cut and paste as to who the villain, but I think it was very unclear as to who some possible other villains in this movie were, and I think that if they fleshed that out, it would have made the movie flow a little bit better. I think you know who I'm talking about specifically as, like, another possible villain.
Sure.
But some other things, like, man, I'm going to just have to say... a character's name, just so you understand. It's not spoilerish. Just say that.
Huh, get it? Spoiler?
Yeah.
Ah!
I'm sorry, I'm telling you, car puns just exist
that doesn't
no matter what
speed.
You say.
Yeah, that doesn't
no matter
speed.
What you say.
The trainer in this movie,
mm-hmm.
her intro and the way that she was, you know, announced, I guess you could say, to the audiences of, like, confusing as to the role she was bound to play. And I think that they really should have fleshed that out.
I think there is something they could have done with that character to start her journey a little sooner.
Yeah.
But maybe they didn't want to tip their hand as much as what a role that she would play.
Right.
And maybe they wanted the impact of that. But I agree with you. I think that character maybe could have been handled a little bit better. I think we're supposed to see her from the beginning as the new Mater, like the sidekick comic relief.
Yeah.
She does some things that, you know... or to make the audience laugh
right.
and those
That's
kind
what
of
I
things.
Thought they were going with. And
right.
then
it goes a different direction. I like where it goes. I like what that storyline said and what they did with that character. But I just think that if that's where they were going, they could have... You're right. I think they could have handled the introduction maybe a little bit better.
Yeah.
So, no, I think that's a valuable point. I also thought there were a couple moments... And this is a very minor negative for me. There were a couple moments that were a little bit chicken soup for the soul. A little bit roll your eyes at how cheesy a couple of those
Too
lines
cheesy.
Were.
Yes.
They could have been a little more nuanced than that, but that's kind of a minor one for me.
Yeah. I'm getting tired of telegraphing saving grace moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have to go into spoilers, I'll go into more detail of what I'm thinking of, but yeah, it's something that every single Pixar movie I've seen is doing now, like something, a flaw or some exploit that, you know, and they're like, yeah, somebody did this exploit, and then that turns out to be the saving grace, you know, they just telegraph,
sure.
like, ah, just stop making it so obvious, you know.
But it's obvious because it's the formula, right? And it's the formula that works. It's
I get like, it. Say, again, I'm not the demographic for this movie.
Sure.
So I guess for a younger audience, maybe that would be like, oh, that's cool. They did the thingy that they talked about earlier.
Right, and they bring it back around.
Well, but I think it's like, you can get tired of a formula because you understand where it's going every time and it becomes too predictable.
Yeah.
I think of sports movies are a lot like the underdog story sports movie.
You know how it's
you know how it's going to yeah. You know where it's going.
Tell so
if you
Rocky.
Don't if yeah. you don't enjoy, well, but Rocky and Rudy and, you know, all these Miracle yeah. and yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like they all go the same direction. So you either enjoy it because you just enjoy that,
right.
even though you know where it's going, or you get annoyed with it because it's too predictable.
Yes.
So yeah, and I know what you're saying with Tell It to Rocky, that it's not the typical, and there's a little difference in yeah. the ending there, not to be spoilerish for Rocky, right. but it does
spoiler this, the 1960 movies where he loses the fight.
That wasn't the 60s, that yeah. was the 70s, right?
Was it?
76, 77.
Yeah, I think it was the mid-70s. Anyways, that doesn't matter. The point is, it does the same thing other underdog sports movies do.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Mid-70s?
Yeah.
Yeah. It does that thing that sports movies do, that underdog thing, even though it doesn't end exactly the same. So, any other negatives you wanted to bring up before we kind of close up shop on Cars 3? Close up shop, see what I did.
I have a...
The mechanics of the movie? You want to talk about the mechanics?
My wife and I, we have a six-year-old, and he is of an age now, on a movie like this, you could take him to it, he would sit and watch it the whole time and enjoy it.
Yeah.
There's a certain age that when you bring your child into the theater, they're just too young to watch the movie the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that age is different for different
it's
people.
It's somewhere around there.
But so then I would say if your child is 3 to 4, there's a likelihood that they're going to cry or freak out. So when they do cry or freak out, just take them out of the theater.
Yeah. Yeah. It's your responsibility to miss a little bit of the movie.
I wanted to say that so it was known. People, because there are people that
just in case the person at your screening is listening to the podcast.
I was always very conscious of my son starting to cry, and I go, "Well, we're out of here," because I don't want to ruin anyone else's time in the theater.
I like Jack's PSA in the middle of the podcast.
I wanted to.
The more you
that.
Know,
I yeah. did, I'm not going to cuss or say anything crazy about these kids. Mm-hmm. But come on, now, folks, you know,
deep in public, down, you won't.
You know.
In private, though.
In public, I definitely wouldn't. I would be like, get your kid out of here, please!
I tell you what, though. There were kids at our screening as well, and there are some things I love that kids do that adults don't do,
yes.
which is they get so into it.
Yes.
That's they're,
great.
Like, they're talking to the screen. Like, I love that kind
and
of stuff.
And I'm fine with that. This is different, though.
Yeah, no, totally, this is totally,
like,
totally.
No, Mommy, no, no! And you're like, what, just... Take them out of here. They're not watching this anyway.
Mom, why did you bring me to A Cure for Wellness?
Oh, gosh. So I learned something about this movie through the kids in our audience. Like, that whole thing, I am speed.
Speed.
I guess that's his speed. Mantra.
Yeah, it starts the first movie.
Whenever he started saying it, all the kids in our audience were like, I am speed. They were quoting it along with him. Like, okay, that's a mantra that he gets himself hyped up for every single race. Okay, so it was cool learning, you know, the passion and love for this movie through the kids, you know, because that's infectious, you know. Like, whenever a kid gets something excited about something around you, you're like, all right, yeah, let's do this. So...
I would recommend it.
Absolutely.
What would you say, Andrew, even though you didn't like it?
No. Well, again, I'm not the target audience, so I don't think I can give. If you love this franchise, even then, I don't know because
you haven't seen
them.
Yeah.
So I can't say anything.
No, that makes sense.
If you haven't seen any of the Cars movies, don't go see this movie if you're 30 years old.
I think that's a fair assessment.
That's true.
Yeah. Let's move on to It Comes at Night.
Does it really, though?
Through a few things. When we go out during the day, we like to stick to groups just for safety. The red door. It's the only way in and out of the house. It stays closed and locked all the time. I have the keys. It's the only set. Most important thing.
What's he see?
It's okay. Just go inside.
We never go out at night.
It Comes at Night. A man, played by Joel Edgerton, with his wife and son, is put to the ultimate test with the arrival of a desperate man seeking refuge. Paranoia and mistrust boil over as the horrors outside creep ever closer to the inside. Let's take a conversation now on It Comes at Night. Let's start with like it, love it, dislike it, hate it, or it was just okay.
Why don't you kick this one off?
I'll kick this one off.
Yeah.
I have no clue. Here's what I'm going to tell you. This is going to be difficult for a couple reasons. Number one, all the things I want to say about this movie, I feel like I have to say spoilers to say them. So I'm not going to during this podcast.
But we will be discussing
it. But we will be discussing it in SpoilerCast. I will do my best to express what I feel about certain parts and things in this movie to express them. The other reason this is difficult, I loved, loved, loved this movie in certain ways. And I hated this movie in other ways. Like strongly in different sections. So it becomes a little interesting. So what I'm going to go with is it was just okay. Even though that in no way explains how I feel about this movie.
Right.
Yeah.
It is the balance out between what I loved and what I hated about It Comes at Night. So sorry for the long explanation, but
good.
I could have just said it was just okay, but that wouldn't have been accurate to how I feel.
Totally get it.
Yeah. So what about you, Jack?
This will be on our podcast.
The Horrible Movie Podcast?
It will be. I've not done Cure for Wellness yet, which needs to be on there as well, but this movie will be on there.
You hated it?
It was ridiculous.
Okay. We'll get into the details.
Yeah, I just didn't like it.
All right, Andrew?
I really, really liked this movie.
Okay. That's awesome. Close to loved it?
It's in my top 10 of the year.
Okay.
Yeah. I really like this movie a lot.
I'm excited to debate this, to talk about this. I feel very strongly on both my positives and negatives on this. To me, that's a good sign. It means a movie is doing something, at least, when you have strong reactions to it in this way. It reminds me a lot of The Witch last year, or The Vavitch, where there were just some things I really loved about that movie, but overall, I just could not get behind it because of some very huge negatives.
And there's a point, I'm not going to say it, but there's a point in this movie that I was like, okay, now things are going to really pick up.
There is a point in this movie?
There is a point in this movie, like where I thought, okay, this is really going to
Is it the whiskey
up.
Scene?
Maybe, but no, it's, I don't want to say anything.
Yeah. I liked the whiskey
scene. You guys
scene,
are really good at not spoiling things by going right on the edge, and I'm just not good. I'm good at going, remember on this part, whenever he did this, and then there was the spaceship, and then and it's like,
Jack, no, exactly. You can't tell people about the spaceship.
Exactly, so I gotta
Can I start abstain. With my big pro?
Sure, go ahead, man.
Joel Edgerton kills it as a parental figure
so good.
In this movie.
He's so great.
I mean, wow. Not since, Viggo Mortensen in The Road have I felt, true primal parental, my kid has to survive.
What a performance.
Right?
Yeah.
What a great performance. And he's not the only one giving a great performance.
No,
down the line, these performances are phenomenal.
But, I mean, the standout one for me. I mean, Cameron Abbott did a great job as the other father, and Cameron, is Ejigo, is that how you say her name?
I have no idea.
The mother.
Yeah.
The
Carmen, I think, is her first name.
Carmen Ejigo, yeah.
I would have said Ejogo, but I have no idea. I really don't.
And Riley Keough. Everybody has a weird name in this movie. But
What's the kid's name?
Kelvin Harrison Jr.
He would be my standout. I mean, Joel was the greatest thing about the performances. He really was. But Kelvin Harrison Jr. was my standout performance. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed with that kid.
He's the kid, right?
Yeah.
Not the little kid, but the kid.
Right, yes, okay, exactly.
He was in Roots, and I think he was in Birth of a Nation as
He
well.
He was good.
Yeah.
We'll debate about it. I'm telling you, I'm just not...
No, we'll get to the negatives.
I'm
it's
really
okay,
bad
Jack.
About, I'm
Jack,
really bad
it's
about,
okay.
But I'm
it's
mad all... about just giving stuff away.
So. Okay.
And well, then we'll... He-Man shows up, and She-Ra's there.
The thing, here's another pro I have about the movie. Unless you guys have another, I don't want to be just constantly
how much,
throwing
well,
out
Well,
no,
the pros. I don't know how much time we need to spend on the performances other than to say they are really, really good. And I think that impacts the overall feel of the movie.
I love this movie for the simple fact that it doesn't explain anything. The mystery makes everything more terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And that, because I think that's how, you would feel during, it's not a, everybody, I don't know what people know and don't know about this movie, so I don't know what I can say. But at the same time, there's a sense...
I'm telling you, this is one of the hardest movies to discuss without spoiling. And, and they did, even in the marketing, they didn't spoil anything.
No, they didn't anything. A lot of people thought it was going to be a vampire movie, which through the marketing...
Or a horror movie, and it's not really even a horror movie.
It's a
movie.
Suspense.
It's just not even
a suspense thriller, it's just suspense.
It's just something. Yeah. I don't know.
Man, I don't know what I can say.
That's what I'm saying, and that's where I came to, too.
Well, I think it's fair to say, without spoiling anything too major, you're right. The movie doesn't explain a lot about the world around it or about what's going on, those kind of things. And that was a positive for you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That was a huge negative for me.
I'll get into why it was a positive specifically later on.
In spoilers?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. We'll flesh this out more in spoilers for sure. Let me see if I can non-spoiler tell you why it's a negative for me.
Okay.
I don't need you to explain all the answers to the world around what's going on around them. That's fine with me.
That's why I loved it.
Yeah, leave that stuff a mystery. That's great. But what I do need you to explain are the answers as to why this story is important, why it matters, why I'm watching, why I have invested an hour and a half of my life. And this movie, to me, did not even give those answers.
Now, that I disagree with.
Okay.
Because I don't think that you have to, I think the movie tries to focus on not them specific for a specific reason on why it's important to watch these people. I think it tries to put you in their shoes as to
that
why,
is what it tries to do, yes.
Because, like, you don't have to be important to try and survive. And I think that's the main focus of the movie is this is a very focused window onto, because you could have a million movies about a different sect or,
a group of people. Yeah, right.
And why it's important. But I think, you know, specifically what happens to them and who they meet and stuff like that, that's why it makes this more interesting.
But it never goes anywhere.
Right. I disagree. It's almost like a small,
I can't talk about why
small
I think
sampling
it does.
Of this world that it's in.
Right.
And it's like, I needed maybe a bigger sample. I need, to finish off this movie in my mind, I need a bigger sampling of that world.
You think that if there
I do. Now, maybe that's just because I'm, you know.
You would appreciate
like
more
3,
a
but.
Settlement of people as opposed to
I don't even need, I just need more information. I need a little bit more information.
Less is more for me. Less information
in
is more
in an alien spacecraft.
In an alien spacecraft.
And Will Smith to show up.
Welcome to
when
Earth.
He doesn't
with
show
He-Man.
Up.
Welcome
spoiler
to Earth.
Alert, Will Smith is not in this movie ever.
Well, you didn't see the movie I saw then.
What? You waited around until after.
Yeah. There's a whole after scene. Credits thing that explains everything.
With helicopters.
It's
welcome
incredible.
To Earth. Welcome
it's amazing.
To Earth. Hit them with a 2x4.
All right. Let's hold that conversation for spoilers then. So we will hold that conversation. We'll talk about it more for spoilers. I think it is the key reason you will enjoy or not enjoy this film if you can deal with how it gives you information or not gives you information. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Because I mean, obviously for us, I ended up not liking that, and you ended up really enjoying that.
Yeah,
and
very
so,
much.
We'll go into more specifics when we get into spoilers. Is there anything else around the edges, pro or con, that you wanted to talk about with this movie without spoiling?
I have a con, and it's one thing that kept me from loving this movie, is it's very, very difficult for a movie whenever it tries to portray surrealism and dreams and stuff like that and trying to make that blend into reality and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And sometimes if you can get it right, it can really make a movie soar into like some of the greatest movies of all time. But it is so difficult to do.
Yeah.
And this movie tried really hard to make it work, but there were certain parts of it I'm like, you're pushing too hard to try and make that surrealism work, and I don't think it did. For the most part, some parts I was like, ooh, well, that was cool. But in other parts, I'm like, okay, you're pulling that thing way too much.
I didn't mind the dream stuff that's in this movie, but there is a moment at the end of the movie that completely confused me, and I didn't know
and
if
I think that is open to interpretation to make you decide was something real or not.
But I think that's where the dream sequences are. There's maybe more to them than that. Because what else do we have to lean on in that movie other than, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We can't just assume that all the...
I think the dream service... The dream sequences are to service the ending of this movie to have you have the option to interpret the ending however you want.
Okay.
And for me, whenever it's this type of movie, I always interpret the realism as the worst case scenario is what actually happened. Because I think that's the tone the movie has set for me. I'm like, oh, well, it's possible that this happened. So in my mind, that is what happened because nothing good can happen in this world.
It is a sad place.
Oh, this is not a happy movie.
Let me talk about
one good that I will say.
That's where I was going to go
to. The visuals of this movie, I like them.
The atmosphere is incredible in this movie.
I'll say this, like what they do, and I don't know crap about cinematography, folks, but the camera stuff in this and how they're doing, I mean, it's awesome. Like, that is awesome because they set a tone.
Yeah.
And movies have to set a tone. But then the tone was set, and then if they just would, there's a couple things, like when we talk about spoilers, I'll kind of fill in my thoughts.
Those are my two things that I loved about this movie, the atmosphere and the acting. I just thought those two things worked together to create one of the most gorgeous, best, like, consistent tone feeling movies I've seen in a long time. Like, it's so well made in that way, which is why it's even more frustrating to me that I didn't feel like I had any foundation there. There was no there for me to come out and go, this is why I, you know, what I can hang my hat on and go, this is what makes this a great movie, other than great performances and great atmosphere, which just isn't enough for me. And I'll just mention this in a non-spoilery way as one of my other big negatives. I don't think this movie goes anywhere new. I think there's nothing inventive in this movie at all. And not only does it not go anywhere new, there's no change in this movie. This movie, in so many ways, ends exactly where it begins.
Yeah.
And there's no, and not in any kind of clever way either. It's just nothing happened.
I think go ahead.
No, that's fine. And that is another reason it's just so hard for me to hang my hat on. Okay, here was the purpose of this film. Here was why I spent my time on it. You know, here's what makes it worth, you know, investing in this time telling the story. Because I didn't see a story, really.
Yeah.
There wasn't much of a story. There was just a world. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah.
I think the reason why there's no change is because you're started off in such a primal instinct area that if you don't change, it's so basic, the human basic primal instinct, that you can't really go anything below that. You know, it's just human nature, and that's what is being displayed in this movie. It's just pure human nature. So I didn't mind that it was nothing changed
in this movie. And I just wanted more. I wanted something to, you know, to be in that way. I'm excited to talk spoilers. I'm really excited for our spoiler. But we may hit on like one or two Cars spoilers in the spoiler episode, but it'll be mostly about It Comes at Night. Yeah. So make sure you stay tuned for that. It should show up next in your podcast feed. Anything else before we move on?
There's so much you can't say about this movie. So.
Yeah, we will continue this conversation in the spoilers chat, which should be next in your podcast feed. Before we get on to our SIFT quest for the week, I want to thank you again for supporting at patreon.com/StudioDNA. StudioDNA is the podcast network that this podcast is on. It is fan-funded through Patreon. You start at $3 a month and you give a couple bucks every month to the podcast network, and you get your own podcast feed that includes a bonus episode, every single episode of every podcast that's on the network. And what we've been currently doing is doing SIFT Shame. So basically, Jack, during the patron-only pre-show, which you'll be in your podcast feed as a patron, gave us five movies that he had not seen. Actually, one that he had, and we tried to guess which one was the one he had seen.
And you were both wrong.
And we were both wrong.
Oh, that's a spoiler, though.
That is a little bit of a spoiler, but
I'm sorry.
People will have to tune in to hear. You just cost us so much money at Patreon by spoiling that.
Guys, go to patreon.com.
Patreon.com/StudioDNA. Huge thanks for your support in keeping this network going. By the way, before we continue on, I do want to thank new patrons to the Studio DNA podcast just over the last week. Tom, thank you for your $3 a month. So the Dane joined in with $3 a month. Drew joined in with $3 a month. Thank you guys for doing that. Hope you enjoy the podcast feed with the special perks, all that kind of fun stuff. Again, if you would like to be a part, all you got to do is go to patreon.com/StudioDNA. All right, let's move on to the SIFT quest, guys. Thank you so much for your SIFT quest questions on Twitter. You can tweet me at Aaron Dicer, or you can email me. That's feedback@siftpop.com. What we do here is we go on a little journey answering your questions, your debates, settling your debates about movies, whatever the case may be. This one comes from Mason on Twitter. He says, what's your favorite film that bombed at the box office? Mine are Brazil, Children of Men, and Idiocracy. Three great choices.
Mm-hmm.
I have said each of us can pick three. Does that work?
If you've got three
that you want that bombed at the box office, and we'll just kind of rotate and go around. Andrew, why don't you start us off?
My number three is Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
I will mark that off my list.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's a great choice.
We probably have a lot on our list.
No, that's great. That's fine. I've got some extra ones here.
So, Edgar Wright's style of comedy is like right up my alley, and I'd never read the comic series Scott Pilgrim, so going into this with just this wonder, like curious how this world was going to be built, and that 8-bit Nintendo and
such
amazing,
cool movie.
Amazing soundtrack.
Yeah,
but I think it's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
Completely bombed at the box office.
It did not do well at all.
Yeah.
But every single time I recommend it to somebody, maybe it's just the kind of people I hang out with, they love it. They absolutely love it. And I think it's so funny.
I love this topic because it is such a great indicator that a movie's, movie's financial success may be based at the box office, but a movie's quality is not necessarily based on what happens at the box office. There are so many great movies that people just didn't go see. And that can be a marketing issue. That can be, you know, it was made at the wrong time, released at the wrong time, whatever the case may be. So what do you got, Jack?
I'm going with number three.
That's fine. I didn't put mine in order. I just put three.
Number three. Andrew started us on this quest, so we'll go number three.
Well, technically, Mason started us on this quest.
Thanks, Mason. I'm going to go with Cowboys and Aliens.
What?
Wow.
Do you like Cowboys and Aliens?
You know what I love, guys? I love Cowboys, and I love Aliens. And when you put them together, and you put Daniel Craig, he's there.
I can't tell if you're serious or not right now.
You know who else is there?
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
I know, and they're awful in the movie.
We're checking off four boxes of high quality.
You're telling me all the reasons the movie should have been good, but that movie was not good.
Well, what else you need? You have four great things.
A script.
They're awesome. So there you go. Number three.
I think I'm really starting to understand the Horrible Movie Aliens. Podcast in you, how well they match.
It's a podcast that is horrible. It's a podcast about movies that is horrible.
Cowboys and Aliens. I would have never have guessed that choice in a million years.
I didn't say X for Sever either. I could have said that.
So. No.
I didn't know that this was movies were glad bombed at the box office.
That's right.
Hey, you love the movie. More power to you, brother.
I'm going to go with Fight Club.
Number one on my list. That was number one on my list.
Yeah, yeah. Fight Club did not do well at the box office.
I think
it only
did half of what it cost.
Yeah. But man, since then, it has gotten the credit it deserves. Ooh. What a great film.
And then some. Yeah, that was my number one movie.
Absolutely. All right, what else you got?
My only other one is Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't aware Shawshank bombed that badly.
Did not do well. It was because...
But you know what? I remember people saying it was because of the title. Like, people...
Yeah, they didn't understand,
what it was going to be about. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, it's one of my favorite movies ever. It's Morgan Freeman and...
Morgan Freeman.
If I would have known at the time. That's my really bad Morgan
Andy.
Freeman.
I do a bad one and then... Producer Phil on the show thinks I'm
when I get out of this prison, I'm going to go study penguins in the Antarctic.
I love it. That's a good one. Mine's really bad.
But
I'm refusing to try. So.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm really curious as to what Aaron's Morgan Freeman sounds like now. No, we're not getting... Okay, fine. So, I was trying to bait him in.
Smart man.
What do you guys think about Shawshank? Do you love it as much as me?
Oh, I thought it was awesome.
Oh,
I
yeah,
love
it's,
it.
It's a great movie.
One of the greatest. On IMDb, it's listed as the number one movie ever made. But, yeah.
It didn't do well at the box office.
I think it came out the same time Forrest Gump did. So everybody was on that Gump train. That Gump boat. Whatever.
Everybody hop on the Gump train.
Yeah. But which, don't get me wrong, I love Forrest Gump too, but I think it was overshadowed by that.
Sure.
So it didn't really do well at the box office, but looking back on it now, I think people realize that Shawshank is the better movie.
Good
of
choice.
That year.
Good choice. All right, hit us with another one, Jack.
Yeah.
Who likes fun, I would say.
I like fun.
I like fun, and many movies are fun, but this one, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadows. here's why. It's got Stephen Amell in it. He's from Arrow.
He was so bad. He is the worst Casey Jones
it
of all time.
It has Sheamus from the WWE in it.
He was so bad.
He was Rocksteady.
He was the worst Rocksteady of all time.
And it has Krang in it.
He was a really bad Krang.
He was the worst Krang ever. It was CGI.
Yeah.
You're anti-brain, aren't you? No, that sounded bad. That sounded like I was ripping on you.
I am wondering what's going on in your brain now, Jack.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's not Secret of the Ooze. It's a lot like Secret of the Ooze.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Except, but it ain't not good.
Secret of the Ooze. That was bad, too. Secret of the Ooze was bad, too.
There's 100% less Vanilla Ice in this movie.
TMNT, baby. TMNT.
All right, we're moving on. I've also got John Carter of Mars on my list. This might be the one that I get a little bit of what Jack's getting, because I know a lot of people didn't like John Carter. I really enjoyed it.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a movie.
It
serviced the entertainment bug that I needed for that year.
I thought it was really good. I was really disappointed it bombed, because I think it would have been a great series. I think that would have been a great franchise.
Mm.
And so it made it even more frustrating that it didn't do well, and so they didn't make the second movie, those kind of things. Because plus, I'm a big Pixar guy. I love Andrew Stanton. It was sad for me to see him go from animation to live action and get ripped apart the way he did for that movie. Because I thought he did a great job. I thought it was wonderful.
So. Did they plan on making that movie a series?
Oh, yeah. I think okay. they wanted a franchise.
Because I think they spent a lot of time building that universe in the first movie for them just to abandon it on one movie. You know?
Well, and here's the other thing. Another example of horrible titling. They just changed it to John Carter instead of John Carter of Mars.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's just a dude's name.
Why
and,
did
like,
they do that?
I have no idea. Like, if you call it John Carter of Mars... First of all, that's what the source material is called.
Right.
Second of all, then people go, okay, there's something different here, something interesting here. You
he's
know,
from Mars.
John Carter could be John Wick. Well, you know, also, like, I mean, who knows?
It could be the Coach Carter sequel.
Right.
It could be a basketball movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's another one.
The aliens were tall enough to play basketball in that movie. And they had four arms, didn't they?
I don't remember.
This could have been Space Jam 2, which we need.
Yeah.
If Space Jam is your last box office bomb, then...
It's not.
Okay, good.
Because I think it did really well at the box office.
Yeah, it was good. Mine is actually... I'm gonna try to fix this a little bit right now.
All right, okay. Thank you.
I can see that you guys' reactions are... It's a little polarizing in here right now. Ali, which is the Will Smith
okay,
movie.
Okay, fair enough.
Hot budget $100,000 something, and it only made 87...
$100 million?
$100 million yeah, yeah. something, sorry. And it only made 80 something. I thought it was good. I think that Muhammad Ali is someone, who, again, a polarizing figure,
mm-hmm.
but someone who we need to learn about a little bit.
I didn't love that movie, but I can see that, especially with Will Smith's performance, which I thought was really good in that movie. I can see somebody really enjoying.
He buys into roles, and I do. There's a lot of times Will Smith's my second Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Reference. Well, you have a thing. We get it.
But really don't. In fact. I don't like him in movies because he turns into Fresh Prince in those movies. I'm just like, stop yeah. doing that. But in this movie, he buys into that character and really tries hard, and more power to him.
Do you have another one?
As I did. My third one.
I had a backup.
Oh, you have a backup? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to skip you then.
Yeah. This is going to, not to rag on Jack, but this might fall more in that camp of, I didn't really think that was a good movie, but I... For some reason, it may just be that my family loves this movie and we grew up watching it. The 13th Warrior with Antonio Banderas.
It's not a bad choice.
It did not do well.
No, it did not do well.
Same director as Die Hard, written by Michael Crichton.
Wow.
Yeah. It was based on one of his books called The Eaters of the Dead. Highly recommend it. I think it didn't do well because they cast Antonio Banderas to play an Arabian. So,
yeah,
but... Every other person in that movie is Scandinavian, who is supposed to be Scandinavian. If you're unfamiliar with source material, it's based on a true story loosely of this man named Ahmed Ibn Fatland, who was sent as an emissary from Persia to the north, and he got not captured, but he joined this band of Scandinavians, and they took him, and he fought with them for a while. It was cool. Really fascinating story. The movie is a very dramatized version of that history, but still super fascinating, and the soundtrack is amazing.
Very cool. Yeah, the last one I had was Iron Giant,
which completely
bombed at the box office, right. But is a spectacular film. So,
Vin Diesel knows how to make me cry.
Brad Bird knows how to make you cry.
Yeah,
that's a great one. I find it interesting. We didn't really talk about any of the classic examples of this. Citizen Kane bombed,
right?
Yeah,
It's a Wonderful Life bombed.
I thought that was going to be your number one.
Wizard of Oz bombed.
Yeah.
You know, there's a big history of, you know, great movies. Vertigo, for that matter. You know, Hitchcock's greatest film, according to many people.
You're listing a whole bunch of movies I figure would be your number one. Or
well,
your
I kind of wanted
list.
To go, you know, more recent stuff. But, yeah. You know, those classic examples,
yeah,
you know.
Like TMNT2.
like Ninja Turtles. Classic
Did
examples of amazing.
Stephen Amell is in this.
Classic
in this
examples
movie.
Like Cowboys and Aliens. Amazing movies that somehow bombed at the box office.
People's opinions. It blows my mind that they think this way. It's amazing.
So
it's the old west.
All of that to say,
and aliens.
All of that to say that.
Did you know that
it's not necessarily a bad thing when a movie bonds? Thank you, Mason. We appreciate the question.
That was fun. I like that. Thanks, Mason.
It's a great question. If you want to get a SIFT quest in again, you can do it on Twitter or email. Twitter, just hit me up at Aaron Dicer. And if the question's too long for the character limit, you can send me a direct message. That's fine. You can also email feedback@siftpop.com. We can get it that way. As well. All right, moving on to the buried treasure, guys. What's that one thing in the area of pop culture you want to make sure people know about? Jack, let's start with you.
I've seen these ads lately for IBM's Watson. Okay, and this made me think about AI in general.
Mm-hmm.
I am convinced that at some point that movies are right, that we will be overtaken by artificial intelligence. I wanted to ask you guys, of the artificial, of the AI or the maybe the fake AI that's out there, Watson seems to have all these answers on, this, on these commercials. I know Alexa, is that Google's?
No, that's Amazon.
That's Amazon's.
And then Google has Google Home.
Okay. Yeah. Cortana is still somewhere
Microsoft's.
With Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And Siri is
Apple's. Yep.
Which of these AIs will take over first?
Ask
which
Jeeves.
It may take over? Yeah. Which one? My thought was, which of these will we succumb to?
So basically,
first?
Your buried treasure is the movie Her. Because that's the that is what that movie is basically talking about.
I've never seen that movie. So tell me
about... it's no Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles out of the shadows.
That's right.
So I don't want to get your hopes up.
But Krang is
there. But that movie basically insinuates that these artificial intelligences in the digital space create an alliance and then decide who they want, you know, to be in that world. And so that would
be my
really answer.
They take over, though.
Well, there's
the convergence. People will talk about the convergence between when we will be taken over, or maybe not. We augment ourselves to the point where the artificial intelligence becomes more than we are. Does that make sense?
They form a syndicate. You know, they get together.
But in the classic sense of taking over the world, don't.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's more likely to happen in that way, where like Siri and Alexa team up with Google Home.
See, I'm not as big a fan of Alexa. I don't think it's as strong of a technology.
Have you seen Jibo yet?
No, what is that?
Jibo is kind of...
Is that related to Tim Tebow?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's a new at-home kind of like AI device. It's not new. It was actually the first, but it never got released.
Oh, interesting.
And it is awesome. Sean and I praise Jibo all the time. I wish I had it.
Praise Jibo.
Yeah. Praise Jibo.
That sounds like something Homer Simpson would say. Oh, no, that's Jeebus.
Jeebus. Yeah, Jeebus.
What about Siri? I feel like Siri might have the...
Siri's awful.
People hate Siri.
Yeah, people hate Siri.
If you heard this, I just don't take over.
I think, Alexa is the smartest out
really?
Of all.
I think Google is.
You think Google?
I really do. I think Alexa is the most diverse. Alexa can do more than any of them can right now.
Yeah.
She's got a lot more tricks up her sleeve than
it's
the others
scary.
Do right now. Google is really smart. My wife and son were having it. We have a Google Home. We love it. It's, you know, it's great to have. And so my wife and son were having a conversation about him getting something. I think he wanted an electric razor. He's like, hey, can I... He was talking to my wife. Hey, can I get an electric razor? And she said, I don't know. Google it. Find out where the nearest, you know, Walmart neighborhood market is. And then in the background, you hear the nearest Walmart neighborhood market is.
Okay,
like,
so
they weren't even talking to Google. Google's
not,
like chiming
does
in.
Does that not give you the creeps a little bit? Or
oh no, I love it.
Really?
I am such a tech guy,
see,
man. I am so ready for that world.
Crap out of me. Whenever I search for a product,
don't you think
online,
that's movies though? Don't you think that's just movies making?
No.
You know, you think the singularity's coming?
It is.
You've been
it's
conditioned.
Yeah,
by
that
Hollywood.
Stuff's not going to happen.
Oh my gosh! Famous last words. 20 years later. Well.
Listen,
Cyborg Aaron,
Jack,
back to you.
I'll let you know that the day the machines take over, I'll be kneeling down.
That's right. Yeah. I'll go next
if
you want. My buried treasure is actually the World Series of Poker is going on right now. There are a lot of ways that you can follow it. I'm a huge poker fan.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite times of the year.
How's Negreanu doing?
He's doing great.
Good.
He's having a great World Series. He's going for his third World Series poker, World Series of Poker Player of the Year. Nobody else has won it twice. He's trying.
Maverick is in this as well.
Maverick's in this. Yes, absolutely. He's trying. He's in the thing I wanted to talk about was Negreanu. His YouTube channel has actually just taken a leap this last year. He's really started dedicating some production value to it, different things to it. He's doing a daily video vlog of his experience at the World Series this year, and it is so insightful. It really gives you a sense of what it's like to grind the poker at the World Series, how he makes his decisions, what he's doing.
Cool.
Plus, he's entertaining. He's a funny guy. He's an interesting dude.
He's charming.
He's very charming, and very... honest, and you know he's not afraid to say what he thinks, those kind of things. So he's a good watch, and I've really enjoyed watching. I think he's 15 days in. It's a 2 month event. The World Series is so currently he's playing in the $10,000 horse tournament, which is a mixed game tournament, and it's just really fun to kind of follow along and see what he's doing. So even though the video the streaming mm-hmm. of the tables this year is now like $10 a month, which is ridiculous.
It's weird.
It used to be free through ESPN, but a place called PokerGo bought it. So even though there's not as much opportunity to watch the poker, it's really cool to have kind of this inside view into what's going on. So cool. I'd highly recommend that.
Awesome.
Nice.
What do you got, Andrew?
I have an app. Out of all the things, you never would have expected me to be promoting an app. But it's this app called Mixtiles, something that I purchased.
I saw your tweet. Those were cool.
Yeah, you like those?
Yeah, tell me about the app. Because I looked for it. It's not on Android. It's only on Apple right now. Yeah.
Well, maybe they have an actual dedicated website. I think they do have a dedicated
website. Do they have a website that you could do it through?
Yeah. So what it is you say you take a whole bunch of pictures on your phone, right?
Okay.
You love those photos. You want to get them printed out. What this company will do is I think it's $45 for 3 photos. They will print them out. I know this is an audio podcast, so forgive me. Maybe you guys can explain it better. Look at his Just Swimming poster, gotcha. How it's a pressed out. Mm-hmm. They're 8-inch by 8-inch photos, and you can have family photos and stuff. They print them out, and then they ship them to you, and they're adhesive on the back, so you can put them up, move them around. They don't mess up your walls or anything like that.
Wow. How well do they stay?
Really well. They stand really well.
I feel like I want to check in 6 months from now if you've moved them around a couple times and see if they're still adhesing.
Yeah.
I just make up a word?
Yeah.
Adhesing?
Yeah, if they're still sticking.
Yes. Check it. Adhesing.
Yeah. So
it's the sequel to Van Helsing.
I just went on Google and I found all my favorite things, like my favorite video games, favorite books, favorite movies, and I just got cool
pictures. Is that legal? Because that's other people's copyrighted work, right?
That's not for him to worry about.
No, I know. I'm just wondering about are they going to get, is Mixtiles going to get
care of all this on the back end?
Yeah. And mainly what I've seen them do is
they've paid
print
all
out
the rights to this.
Print out family photos,
right,
and stuff
right.
that.
Pictures you've taken, yeah.
Which I have not taken those photos. So yeah, I actually ordered 3 more that are coming in the mail. I have a Calvin and Hobbes one, Darth Vader, and Godzilla. Pretty much, I'm just taking everything I love, and I'm getting them printed out. And you can put them in cool little arrangements on your wall and stuff.
Yeah, I love the idea. I would absolutely. It is the answer I've been looking for having a similar piece of art for every Pixar movie, to put around.
Yeah.
The top of a room or something.
Cool. Yeah.
I love the idea. I just wonder if they're going to get in trouble for printing other people's.
That never
stuff.
Legally,
that never
I don't
happens.
Think we would be in trouble. It would be
no, no, no. I think they would be in trouble.
That
yeah,
never
but
happens.
Then again, hey, go there and print them out. It's great.
Do it now because
not my problem.
Here's I know again, it's an audio podcast.
That's
so
neat.
But yeah, I was super happy. I bought 9 of them, and I think it was $103.
You get Spawn on there.
Yeah, I got
yeah.
Spawn.
They're $10 each, right?
Yeah, $11.45. Because it's $45 for 3 of them, and then $9 for every extra tile after that.
Oh, I see.
Free shipping.
Okay.
So
wow.
Yep, and the app itself is free as well. They recommend that whatever photo you choose, because they are squares, make sure they're 1080 by 1080 or better. Otherwise, it's going to be kind of blurry.
Yeah, it'll pixelize because they have to increase them too much.
Exactly.
That kind of thing. Do they have a recommended size that exactly would look the best, resolution wise, or just anything above that's going to look fine?
I think because on your phone, if it's too small, it won't let you choose that photo.
Mm.
So say you have a little 360 by 360, you can't actually choose that one. So it's you have to choose these or better.
Very cool.
So
very awesome.
I'll
get one for each of our guest gurus. Hang them around the room.
That's awesome.
Have the everybody's picture around the room.
That'd be cool.
That is cool.
Wouldn't you like that?
I would love that.
All right. Send me your best headshot, Jack, and we'll start with you.
I'll check my agent.
We did it, guys.
How's up?
We did a podcast. Podcasting has commenced and finished.
Quality audio.
Thanks so much for joining us today for Sift Pop. It is part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network. You can find out more about other live and later shows on the network by following the feed at Mixlr.com/Studio DNA. That's MIXLR.com/Studio DNA. Huge thanks to today's guru, Jack from the Horrible Movie Podcast.
Thank you.
Where can people find your stuff, man?
We're on the Twitter at One Horrible Movie. Check out our Facebook page and then TheHorribleMoviePodcast.com. You can find episodes there. You can get a shirt or something to that effect if you wish. I also have still several hundred pounds of microwave popcorn with our logo on it. So if you want some popcorn, let me know and we'll find a way to get you some delicious popcorn from a delicious podcast. The Horror Movie Podcast.
Both Andrew and I have been on the podcast.
And you did a great job, guys.
So we've both
been on. Everyone in podcast country said you did a great job.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
It's podcast country.
Welcome to podcast country.
Gosh! Also, much love and gratitude to our Patreon supporters for giving monthly to make this show and others on the network possible. That support starts at $3 a month, comes with some pretty fun perks. Find out more at patreon.com/studioDNA. There are a lot of ways to connect with the podcast. You can go to SoundCloud, you can tweet at us, leave comments on iTunes, or you can email us directly at feedback@sifpop.com. And finally, if you're having a good time, your movie-loving friends will probably like the podcast too, so let them know about it and that listening is much easier than driving a car on a treadmill. Spoiler chat for this week's movie should be next up in your podcast feed, and we will see you next week to chat about Transformers. By the way, our guru next week appears like it's going to be Christian Harloff from the Schmoes Knows channel.
Nice.
So that'll be a lot of fun. So tune in next week, and we will see you then.